Exactly 150 years ago today, January 9th, 1861, the Union ship Star of the West was fired upon from the Citadel in South Carolina. Most historians identify that fight as the official start to the Civil War. Thankfully, we are no longer officially at war, firing live ammunition at each other in this country. However, we certainly are engaged in civil war, firing verbal shots and fighting on a number of fronts, politically, ethically, economically, morally, spiritually, even between denominations and even within our own denomination on a variety of issues. How do we know which side to support? How are we to engage those who see matters different than we do? How can we bring more light into the world? History, our scripture from the prophet Isaiah, and Epiphany all provide some answers. Today is Epiphany Sunday, the celebration of God's revelation to us through Jesus. Faithful Christians celebrate Epiphany very differently. The Western Church focuses on the coming of the Magi to worship Jesus, while the Eastern Church focuses on the baptism of Jesus. For both, the essence is the manifestation of Christ in the world, the light of God that is dispersing darkness, the insight of God perceived that is transforming us in the world. The prophet Isaiah describes Epiphany. God says, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he established justice in all the earth." Scripture often has several layers of meaning. In this case, the identity of the servant has multiple identities. Jesus is the supreme template, the master model, the perfect pattern of servant that we are to aspire, follow, and learn from in order to live and do the will of God. Isaiah was also talking about servants of God past, present, and future, which includes big names like Abraham, Miriam, David, Mary, and Paul, yet also seemingly insignificant people like Ruth, Amos, the woman at the well, that boy with the loaves and fishes. Sometimes the identity of the servant is a whole group of people, a nation, an organization, a church, or a community group. The identity of the servant is also you, me, all of us. All faithful servants share several key characteristics. Servants are chosen by God. Of course, since God calls everyone, this means anyone who hears and acts on even a part of God's call is a servant. Servants are empowered and guided by the Spirit of God to uphold the covenant, the will and love of God, thereby bringing God's light to others. Servants bring forth justice. Webster Dictionary defines justice as conformity to truth, fact or reason, correctness, righteousness, the quality of being just, fair, the principle or ideal of just dealing, right action, the maintenance or administration of what is just, especially by the impartial adjustment of conflicting claims. Justice is upholding human rights and entering into healthy relationships with all people. That's quite a definition there. The Bible is particularly concerned about people who are often denied justice because of their lack of power. We are to pay special attention to people who are vulnerable and are in danger of being mistreated. Servants bring forth justice in the middle of human life by treating people fairly, respecting their rights, and seeing every person, especially our enemies, those we disagree with, as equals, as fellow precious children of God, created in the image of God. It seems to me that many people today are missing how to bring forth justice. Isaiah wrote, "A servant will not cry or lift up their voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed the servant will not break, and a dimly burning wick the servant will not quench. the servant will faithfully bring forth justice. How do you interpret that? It seems to me that that certainly excludes protesting at funerals, waving signs in the street, mudslinging, grandstanding, name-calling, and about half the tactics we learn about every day in the evening news. Bishop Kewell expounds upon the bruised reeds that a servant will not break. It is like a strong man, he writes, coming home in the evening and enclosing the weak, almost transparent hands of a sick wife in his powerful hands. It is tempering one's power with humility, compassion, and gentleness. Gentleness is might grown tender. God's hands that squeeze the stars into their present shape are amazingly gentle, able to caress your hurt, bringing forth healing. Jesus, without even lifting his voice, is able to call the dead to glorious resurrection. Yet his voice can also sing a baby to sleep and speak to you in sheer silence. When a servant touches a bruised reed hanging by its very last thread, rather than hurt that reed, it is healed. All of us are bruised reeds, even the person on the other side of the issue. A true servant brings forth justice quietly, gently, while at the same time healing people on both sides of the issue. My understanding is that Abraham Lincoln was this type of servant. Lincoln was a man of deep faith. He worshiped weekly, often at the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church, yet did not officially join any congregation, many believe so that he could better relate to all denominations, churches, and faiths. Lincoln was well aware that people in both the North and the South were certain, absolutely certain, that they were on God's side. Pastors and churches on both sides used Scripture to support their position. Both sides prayed for God to give them victory. Lincoln said in his second inaugural address, "Both read the same Bible and pray to the same God, and each evokes God's aid against the other." It may seem strange that any man should dare to ask a just God assistance in wringing their bread from the sweat of other men's faces. But let us judge not, that we be not judged. The prayers of both could not be answered, that of neither has been answered fully. The Almighty has His own purposes. Regarding religious warfare, Lincoln said, "My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side." Sometimes it is really hard to tell which side is God's side. How does one bring justice to a complex situation? By being a servant to everyone involved in the situation. Lincoln respected the people and churches on both sides of the issue. He affirmed that both were faithful, reading the Bible, praying, and worshiping. He respected and listened to the people he disagreed with. He promoted and invited even his most outspoken critics to serve right alongside him. Lincoln did his very best to serve all people equally. Yet at the same time, he stood firm in his belief that God's side was that all people be free. The servant humbly stays involved and never gives up. Isaiah wrote, "The servant will not grow faint or be crushed until the servant has established justice in all the earth." Pastor Archibald Alexander explores the dimly burning wicks that servants will not quench. He asks us to imagine a smoking wick, a piece of flax floating in oil and burning so faintly that it seems a mere charred end from which the smoke coils thinly upward. Someone comes and snuffs it out because it smells. This is how the world's reformers often behave. They snuff out the spark, then they trim the wick and apply their own fire to it. Christ's way is to tend and foster the feeble spark. For example, Jesus treated the woman who anointed his feet with her tears with extraordinary gentleness. Jesus breathed on her spark of virtue and blessed it. Though others present condemned her for her sins and condemned Jesus for letting her touch him, Christians are called to have the same spirit that is in Christ. Unafraid of being accused of approving of evil, we must look for even the tiniest spark, of some inward grace in others, even people on the other side of the issue, and rejoice in it and nurture it. Our attention may make the critical difference for people to realize their love for God. One glimmering spark is enough to light a blaze. Where the flax is even smoldering, Pastor Archibald writes, there are angels fighting for a soul. Our gentle service is needed to fan the flicker to a flame. Justice is not brought forth with fire that consumes and destroys. Justice is not brought forth by trimming the wick in the other of those on the other side. Rather, justice comes when you truly listen to your enemy, to the point where you are enlightened to perceive what is their smoldering wick. And then you help them bring that smolder to a flame. Being a servant involves serving yourself, controlling your self-talk, freeing yourself from negative thoughts, feelings, and activities, finding ways to encourage yourself, and taking time to engage in activities that fan your smoldering passion into flame. Servanthood is admitting that you are a bruised reed in many ways and need healing. Servanthood is treating yourself with justice. You are specially gifted to bless others with the particular special gifts and talents that God has given you. Each of us has a unique facet of epiphany, a unique aspect of light to shine into the world. Now, being a servant certainly is a daunting task. Fortunately, God promises to help us every step of the way. God says, I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoner from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. God does much more than merely call you to be God's servant. God fills servants with righteousness, empowers you, and takes you by the hand, assisting you with every task. God fills servants with light so you can embody God's love and shine. You are to shine, to bring epiphany, light, sight, and freedom to all people. Many have said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. Jesus modeled servanthood. Jesus refused to be a vocal political activist. Jesus didn't even speak to the charges leveled against him at his trial. Jesus changed the world by humbly serving others. Each of us is to follow Jesus' example with modest, quiet, considerate, and compassionate service. We are to sit with the brokenhearted and never be discouraged or dismayed from the task of bringing justice, equal treatment for everyone. So how do you know if you're on God's side? You are on God's side if you are bringing forth God's justice, if you are bringing more and more light to the issue, if you are helping people see new ways of living together in true community, if you are liberating all that are trapped in any way, if the way you are serving is the most loving way. You are on God's side if your service is quiet, humble, and shows compassion and respect for all people. Constantly seeking God's will, your greatest concern should always be to be on God's side. Pastor Eugene Peterson wrote, "The world does not need more of you. The world needs more of God. Your friends do not need more of you. Your friends need more of God. And you don't need more of you. You need more of God." Servants serve God and not their own desires, whenever those desires differ. God's servants do not fuel civil wars. Rather, God's servants are civil and serving. You are on God's side if God can say about you, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon you. You will bring forth justice to the nations. You will not cry or lift up your voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed you will not break, and a dimly burning wick you will not quench. You will faithfully bring forth justice. You will not grow faint or be crushed until you have established justice in all the earth, and the coastlands wait for your teaching. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. Amen.